Hey, this is Mark with A Present Word, where Scripture is shared with insightful and practical applications for you today.
Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. This proverb gives us further insight into the Genesis creation of God. We now know when God created the world, he drew a circle on the face of the deep. The voice speaking in Proverbs 8 is the Son of God, who we now have come to know as Jesus. He is telling us, I have been with my Father from the beginning, and I was daily his delight. But my delight is in his inhabited world was the sons of men. That's us. I believe he is still delighting in us to this present day. We read in Isaiah 40, starting in verse 21, Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? He who sits above the circle of the earth looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. The Father and the Son look from heaven to see if any on earth desire to know them. They are looking to see, are there any who will love them? When God drew the circle on the face of the deep, he drew it in love, looking for love in return. Everything God does is out of love. 1 John 4:8, for God is love. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Throughout the scriptures, when God refers to those who love him, it's followed up with because they keep his commandments or word. When we think of love, we often think in terms of feelings, emotions, or desires. And we should love God with our feelings, emotions, and desire. However, when God refers to those who love him, it's not emotional love he is ultimately looking for. It's a love of keeping his commandments and his word. He is his word. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From God's perspective, you cannot love him and not simultaneously be keeping his word. He is his word. Therefore, loving God is keeping his word. Loving God is loving his word, and keeping his word is loving God. It's impossible, then, to love God and not love and desire to keep his word, because he is his word, and his word is himself revealed. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, starting in verse 15, Jesus speaking to his disciples, If you love me, keep my commandments. Here in this verse, he's being specific to his disciples at the Last Supper. If you love me, show me your love by keeping my commandments. A few verses later, in 23, Jesus says, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. The anyone he's referring to is you and me. So Jesus is telling us, I will know if you love me, not through your emotional display of affection, which is appreciated, but more importantly, are you keeping his word? Not by what we say, but what we do. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, In these last days God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. So what is God speaking through his Son in these last days? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came to save us from our sins. If we die in our sins, we cannot live with him in heaven. Sin cannot enter heaven. He also came to save us from the coming condemnation and judgment on all who refuse to receive Christ for forgiveness of their sins through his shed blood on the cross. Jesus wants us to live with him in heaven. That's why he came and died, shed his sinless blood to cover our sins so we could gain entrance to live with him forever with everlasting life. Access to heaven requires the remission of our sins, the cleansing work of the blood, and the daily washing of water by the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. Why would anybody refuse such an offer to have their sins forgiven? Jesus tells Nicodemus why in John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light. Jesus was telling Nicodemus and us, even though I came into the world as a light to expose Satan's kingdom of darkness and to manifest my kingdom of light, desiring to set free any who are willing to depart from Satan's prison house and the power of sin. But unfortunately, many people choose to live in darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They are opposed to the Word of God. Everyone practicing evil hates the light or hates the Word of God because they love what they're doing and they have no desire nor intention to change and conform their life to the Word of God. So in essence, it's all about love. Love the light or love the darkness. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Nicodemus believed in God, and the Jewish leaders of that day believed in God. However, Jesus told them in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, starting in verse 44, God is not your father. You are of your father, the devil. Why would Jesus say such a thing? Because their deeds were evil. They were manifesting darkness in the works of their father. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and there's no truth in him. The Jewish leaders' ultimate desire regarding Jesus was also their father's desire, to kill off any rival who threatened their kingdom and control over the people. We can profess to know Christ and believe Jesus is the Son of God. We could have said the sinner's prayer and attend church on a weekly basis. Our faith only becomes a reality in truth when we believe in the light, when we walk in the light, when we live with the light, and keep his word. James tells us faith without works is dead. In this case, the works being keeping the word of God, loving the word of God, and following the word of God. In Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In John chapter 15, in verse 9, Jesus speaking, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus is telling his disciples and us, I have loved you as my Father has loved me. That's a very powerful statement. However, in this podcast, I need to focus on the last part of this verse, abide in my love. Jesus is telling us in verse 9 to abide in his love. How do we do that? Well, in verse 10, Jesus tells us, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In this verse, Jesus is giving us insight into how he remained in his Father's love. How did he do it? He kept his Father's commandments. An example of Jesus keeping his commandments, we'll look at the story the night he was betrayed. In John chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus speaking, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Jesus was demonstrating his love for his Father by following his commandment. And this specific commandment was to arise and go to the cross as the sacrificial lamb of that year's Passover in Jerusalem the very next day. But his first stop that night was back to the Garden of Gethsemane, to be betrayed this time with a kiss. Quite often when we hear a message about keep his commandments, keep his word, it sounds so daunting and an impossible task. There are so many commandments and teachings of Jesus to remember, and still many more to learn as we grow in Christ. This type of message, I realize, can sound more like a works teaching, something more we need to do to please God. Being mindful of my own previous attempts trying to keep his word, which has often resulted in more failure than spiritual progress, as I was trying to keep them in my own strength and not through the power of the Holy Spirit. How would you like to be able to keep all the commandments without thinking about keeping them? Jesus did say, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I have discovered a key verse that has worked for me to turn my past failures and defeat into victory and overcoming power. This key verse, if practiced daily, will unlock your ability to always keep God's commandments and therefore abide in his love, just as Jesus kept his Father's commandments and abided in his love. This key is found in three Gospels. However, we will focus our attention on the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Then one of the scribes came and asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus replied, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." What Jesus is saying here, if you can intentionally keep these two commandments, in essence, you will be unintentionally keeping all the commandments all the time. How do we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself? Well, I can offer you a few recommendations I personally use, and hopefully these will help. Loving God with all our heart. The Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus speaking, "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." Loving him with all our heart is always doing those things that please him to the best of our understanding and the knowledge of him and his word at our present maturity level. Knowing he is living in us through the Holy Spirit and has not left us alone, we choose to always do those things that please him, knowing he is always present. Anything we are doing in our life that we are aware is not pleasing must go. All the chambers of our heart require the infilling of his glorious light, so no darkness remains in us. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed is the man who meditates on his word day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatever he does shall prosper." As you pray throughout the day, keep telling the Lord you love him. Incorporate your emotions into your prayers. In your mind, see yourself loving on him all day and night. If you get busy and forget about him, as soon as you remember, tell him again how much you love him and you only want to do those things that please him. It's difficult to focus on loving the Lord and to then do something that's not pleasing to him. I have found the Holy Spirit will whisper in you if you begin to do something that's not pleasing. Just stop, repent, and start telling him again how much you love him and want to please him. loving God with all our soul. Our soul is primarily our will and emotions or feelings. It's the seat of our personality made by God. It's what makes each one of us unique and different from one another. Prior to coming to the saving knowledge of faith in Christ, our soul pretty much dominated the way we lived our life. But when our spirit was born again, or born from above, God placing his heavenly seed into our spirit and awakening us, we became a new creation, a new man, a spiritual man. Now our soul, the soul man, is still very alive and active, even though we now have a new creation living in us. So now we have living in our body, our old nature, our new nature. And the soul is opposed to the spirit, and the spirit is opposed to the soul, and these two need to be separated. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, using the word of God, it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 17, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the spirit, and the desire of the spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you, as believers, do not always do whatever good things you want to do. But Paul tells us in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh or the will of your soul man. In other words, all of our choices and desires must now get filtered through the new man, the spirit man, to discern if the things we are doing are pleasing and approved of by the Lord. We should no longer filter our choices and desires through our soul man, as he is still in darkness and needs to follow the Spirit's leading at all times. If you forget the Lord during the day and inadvertently sin or do something that's not pleasing or contrary to his word, we have an advocate, our high priest Jesus, sitting in heaven. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Luke 11:4. Loving God with all our mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, Jesus speaking, But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. This means Jesus considers our thought life and our imagination as reality, which must be renewed and governed by our spirit man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Or we could say, it's of the evil one. In verse 17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The world is now at flood stage, a flood of lust and pride. The world is swimming in it. The Apostle Peter warns us not to be swept away in the flood of dissipation, seeking after physical pleasures and sinful appetites. It's 1 Peter 4, verse 4. You cannot love the Lord and lust after the flesh simultaneously. They are incompatible to each other. You cannot love the Lord and lust with your eyes after the things of this world. They are kingdoms opposed to each other. You cannot love the Lord and live a life in pride, for God loves humility. You cannot love the Lord and love the world at the same time. You will either love one or you'll love the other. And if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Loving God with all our strength. Our strength is our physical body, our outward man. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 13, Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And later in 1 Corinthians 6, down to verse 19, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And finally, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he gave his disciples a new commandment. We find it in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And again, in John chapter 15 and verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. In the first epistle of John, chapter 4, looking at a few verses, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Verse 16, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And finally, verse 20, If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. I'm convinced if we abide in the love of Christ, we will keep his commandments. And his love will flow in and through us to those around us, fulfilling all of these scriptures. Our love will be a genuine God love, so we can love our neighbor and our brothers and sisters in Christ the way Jesus loved us. It will be a pure love, not a conditional love like the world offers. It will be a love that will lay down its life for a friend, a love that will lay down their life for the Lord. So he can now live through them. In Revelation, Jesus sent a letter to the church of Ephesus. We find it in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Jesus loved the church at Ephesus and all the churches he wrote to in Revelation. How did Jesus show his love to the Ephesian Christians? By reminding them of the first great commandment, love the Lord your God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. When God drew the circle on the face of the deep, I believe he saw the faces of those who would one day arise from off the earth as overcomers over the evil one through the victory of his son's sinless life. These are those who love the Lord to their death with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength.
I hope this message was helpful to you today. If you would like to be notified of future podcasts, click the follow or subscribe button. Donations to A Present Word in any amount are greatly appreciated. Just click the support link or the heart button if you're on our website. To contact me, the email is apresentword@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. God bless you.